So, Jim, can you come? Can we give Jim, Elder Jim, a great big hand tonight? He's going to come. And he's going to share a little bit tonight about what it means to be a father.
Part of the Trinity, not His Son, not Jesus, not the Holy Spirit that we sense in our lives, but the Father. And I think it's important for us to understand that if we're going to understand sonship. That's who we're talking about tonight. I stumbled across a quote yesterday. It says, of all the titles of respect and honor and admiration that are given to deity, think about it. What do we call Him? What name is worthy of ascribing to who He is? The human language isn't capable of grasping that. But you know the ironic part of it is, it says in this quote, it says He asked us to address Him as Father. He didn't look at us and say, you need to call me Supreme Commander and address me on that level of what He deserves, of who He is. But He says, call me Father. The Creator of all heaven and earth says, call me Father. You know, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, see what an incredible quantity of love the Father has shown on us, that we be even permitted to be named and called children of God. You see, it's what we receive from Him as heirs. That He allows us, what love, He allows me to call Him Father. Who He is, all by Himself. And to look on me, a sinful man, someone who's undone, unclean. But He invites me to be His son. Now, we're talking about adoption. I have, if you don't know, but some of you may not know, I have 4 children, natural birth of Amy and I, and then we have 3 adopted children, Chris, John, and Anthony. And if you are a part of an adoption, or if you are adopted, then you can understand this in a way, in a natural adoption here on the world. We're all adopted. Is that right? The spirit of adoption is on us. Not one of us has not been adopted by a father. But I know this. That the extent of the love of a father, a heavenly father, and the one that we try and replicate, is boundless. It won't give up. It won't stop. I shared this with Adrian. Mary, I shared this with Adrian when you guys got involved with the 2 little ones. And I told him, I looked him right in the eyes and I said, this was like the first day or two. And I said, you don't realize it yet, but you're about to enter something into your life. You've never been more like God than you're about to be. There's an aspect to it that you won't comprehend until you enter into that relationship of adopting someone into your life. Adopting someone that... I have 6 sons. I don't have three sons and three adopted sons. I have six sons. Us as children of God, what we cannot allow to happen is for that spirit of an orphan to reside in our life for one second. I can adopt you, and I can be called your father, but if you'll not submit to sonship, I, as a father, you're still my son. That doesn't change. It doesn't change on my end of the deal, on my end of the bargain. But you as a son, and us as a son of God, we can turn away from him. We can turn away from him in a second and do, and grow cold, and not go to him when we have a need, or not give him the honor and respect that's due. And we step into that, back into an orphan. But he doesn't change. He's still there. And he says, you're still my son. You're still, that's the mind-blowing part of it. So I just want to ride on what Pastor Troy said about adoption. We're all adopted. Every single one of us. Know who our father is. You know, my greatest fear as a parent, as a father, I want my children to love me. I want them to love me. And I think of God the Father. He wants us to love him. He did everything possible he could, and he wants us to love him. That's what I want my children to love. But you know, as the earthly father, and I've said this to my Amy, I said, you know what? If for whatever reasons in life come up, and they don't necessarily love me at some moment or whatever, I never want them to lose the perception by something I said or did or acted upon, that they don't understand who their heavenly father is. That's the greatest fear I have in my life. And we as earthly fathers, we need to walk in that holy fear that they're watching. Our children are watching. They're listening. And what they see in us, what they see in you, what they see in me, is going to be their perception of who their heavenly father is. And we never, ever want to make that to where that's unclear in their life. And if your earthly father has done that to you, and we don't have time to go in to everything. I love my dad with all my heart. He's a great man. And I tell him that right here, right now. But like many of us, we've seen him, we've seen failures, or we've seen disappointments in them. And we have to grasp the understanding that he's not our heavenly father, he's not perfect. He's immortal, he's flesh and blood. So let's not walk around with the baggage that, no, you don't understand. I can live as an orphan because you don't see what my father did to me, or who he was, or how he acted. But we have an example of a perfect father who treated his son the right way. That's the example we have to lead, we have to follow. Okay, so I don't know. Thank you for letting me share.
I just want you to, everybody stand up on your feet. What I want you to do tonight is what I want you to realize, that you have some adoption papers that prove that you're not an orphan. They're right here. These are These are legal documents that prove that you have an inheritance, that you are that what your dad owns, you own. That the power that was transferred on Calvary has been like switched into your life. That you're not an orphan. I rebuke every spirit of an orphan that would attempt to come upon your life and lie to you. I rebuke spirits of insecurity over your life. Insecurity is paralyzing the kingdom. An orphan spirit is paralyzing the kingdom. Entire generations are locked up because we're acting as if we're orphans when we're really heirs to a throne of royalty. Hospitals are full of cancer patients because we act like orphans. Somebody grab this. Schools are full of violent children with no fathers who are shooting one another because they feel like orphans. Orphans. They can't restore. Orphans can't bring revival. The spirit of an orphan, it can't do it. But the spirit of a son and daughter of Christ who is full of his power, who understands their place of authority. Now you're talking. You can hold it in your hand. You can hold sin and disease in your hand and watch it die. Because you understand that there's, woo, that where you come from, that the DNA, that now the heirness of your DNA comes from a place that's not in this realm. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. I just release the spirit of adoption into your life tonight. I pray God would heal you right now of the spirit of an orphan. That you would never walk again. That your footsteps would never be weak again. That your voice would never be frail one more day. That you would have confidence in your voice. That your words would hold weight. Like the prophet Samuel, when you release a word into the air, it does not fall to the ground empty. That your words are full of such power that they don't return void unto the Father. That as you decree a thing, so shall it be, because you are royal and you are the heirs of God. That spiritually you unlock doors in heaven that release healing to the earth. That poverty is bound at your words. That wherever you walk, you possess the territory. You actually dispossess territory. Your shoulders are strong. Release that. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You can be seated. I want to show you something now, and this sets up the second half. That was the Father's perspective. And what I want to show you now is leading into the second half of this. And this is gonna set up what I need to warn you. This is a very passionate. And there's two words in here that when they're used in the wrong context, they could be swear words. They're damn and hell. We hear them all the time. However, they're in the context that is not heavenly this time. So I don't want you to be caught off guard. But I think the what's being communicated is pointed and accurate and fitting for the situation now. So if you wouldn't mind, guys, show the video.
Man than me. You happy? Now you gonna tell Will or not?
I'm not gonna do your dirty work for you.
Fine. I'll call him from the road.
Yeah, then why don't you do that?
Yeah, I'll do that. Daddy-o! What's up? Will, glad you're here. Some business came up I gotta handle. So we're gonna have to put our trip on hold. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Just for a couple of weeks.
Mm, I understand.
Yeah. Maybe a little longer.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Look, I'll call you next week and we'll iron out the details. Okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It was great seeing you, son.
You too, Lou.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Will.
You know what, actually, this works out better for me. You know, the Slimmies of summer come to class wearing next to nothing, you know what I'm
Will,
saying?
Well, it's all right to be angry.
Hey, well, why should I be mad? I'm saying, at least he said goodbye this time. I just wish I hadn't wasted my money buying this stupid present.
I'm sorry. You know, if there was something that I
Hey, you know what? You ain't got to do nothing, Uncle Phil. Hey, you know, ain't like I'm still 5 years old, you know? Ain't like I'm going to be sitting up every night asking my mom, when's daddy coming home, you know? Who needs him? Hey, he wasn't there to teach me how to shoot my first basket, but I learned, didn't I? Hey, I got pretty good at it too, didn't I,
yeah,
Uncle Phil?
You did.
Got through my first day without him, right? Mm-hmm. I learned how to drive. I learned how to shave. I learned how to fight without him. I had 14 great birthdays without him. He never even sent me a card.
Couldn't do it, Pete.
I ain't need him then, and I don't need him now.
Will.
Now, you know what, Uncle Phil? I'm gonna get through college without him. I'm gonna get a great job without him. I'm gonna marry me a beautiful honey, and I'm gonna have me a whole bunch of kids. I'm gonna be a better father than he ever was. And I sure as don't need him for that, because ain't a thing he could ever teach me about how to love my kids. How come he don't want me, man?
So when Elijah sent me that video, I'm like, listen, you have to come and share why that video is so powerful. You know, when I first met Elijah, I saw me. I saw me and instantly was attracted to him. And give him a hand as he comes tonight. He's gonna share some stuff with us tonight. So he just share with us tonight why you sent me that video and the significance of it to you.
Well, I stumbled across it just like, you know, we do anything else on social media. So when you know, you stop at things that you can relate to, and you know, whether it's, you know, sports or anything else, and I saw it. And it literally, like, I saw it at the age I am now with a wife and kids and, you know, being a father and a man that I am now. And as soon as I saw it, it immediately took me back to there would be days to where, you know, my mom would tell me that, you know, that she spoke to my father. It's like, hey, he wants to see you. So I would just get really excited, and I would pack my bags, and I was just sharing with somebody that, you know, I would just sit on the porch and I would just wait for him. You know, kind of for him to never show up. You know, and I would get really excited if I heard a
a car go past or something like that. And my friends would ask me to come play, like, come on, man, like, you know, come play, like, he's not coming, man. I'm like, well, no, he said he's coming. So I need to wait. Because when he gets here, we're going to go, you know, and just spend some time together. And he just never showed up. So it hurt, but more than anything, it confused me, because when I was born, he wasn't there. And I grew up like that. And it was something that was put inside of me spiritually that I never knew was planted inside of me. And it was a spirit of abandonment. And I knew how to abandon people, places, and things and situations better than I knew how to do anything else. And I didn't know why. And I didn't know why it was my first reaction to any and everything, whether it was a relationship, whether it was, you know, as I got older, you know, a job I didn't like or a relationship. I don't know why it came so easily to me that we could share, you know, blood, sweat, and tears. And if it ever became uncomfortable, and if it ever became something I did not want to do just the least bit, I could drop it with no feelings attached. I would literally, and people that really love me have experienced this, have caught the bad end of this, and they didn't deserve it, to where it was so drastic to where I just wouldn't ignore a phone call. I would change time zones and just cut off all communication to where is he? I didn't care if you didn't know or if you didn't understand or if I hurt you. I didn't care. I knew the only thing that was taught to me, and it was how to abandon. And that's where that left me, was with the spirit of abandonment, and it left me with the spirit of an orphan.
I've known Elijah now for some time, and I can tell you, when he says that he would walk away from something, he means it. He absolutely means it. And if you could like see and parallel that spirit of an orphan, now just take that mentality and look at the relationships that we see happening all around us in the culture. That relationships are meaningless, that I'm not going to involve myself beyond any level of commitment or responsibility. And the moment it gets uncomfortable or requires something of me, I'm going to change the time zone. There are times where we've been on, well, there are times in the past where we've been playing basketball. And somebody would begin to get on Elijah. And I've loved Elijah so much that, you know, I see it. You know, like I see what's happening, and I'm like, hey, but somebody would just talk a little trash to Elijah. I remember one time he literally just quit playing basketball, and he loves to play basketball. But the moment somebody started to say something, he literally just walked right off the basketball court. I mean, just walked right out the gym. And I'm like, what happened to him? I'm like, oh yeah, you can't do that, Elijah, right now. Just when he comes back in, just, you know, say you're sorry so we can play basketball again. Elijah, there's this other thing that I want him to share, because this communicates the power, and I'm pretty sure this is where the story takes a turn for this son of God. Many of you have heard about the homeless tour that we took a while back, and when I was running young adults ministry here at the church, and we took some young adults between the ages of 18 and 25, and we hit the East Coast, and we were actually ministering to the homeless. And so this is when I first met Elijah. It was some time ago, and I said, E, you know, I want you to come. He said, I don't got no money, so don't worry about it, just come. It'll be good. And so we go on a homeless tour. QU.
I honestly don't, I can't tell you why I went on this homeless tour. It was the last thing. You want me to tell them that? Or you want to tell them?
You tell them. You tell them. It's your story.
Like, I honestly...
So just remember, we were ministering to the homeless.
So we were on this homeless tour, and like, all I knew was, like, look, I'm about to be with my friends, and we're about to kick it. I'm about to go see places I never seen. And then, like, my heart was, like, really quick sidebar, very quick sidebar. I came to church on the North Coast, and I experienced something I never experienced. Being born and raised in a church, mother, grandmother, grandfather, everybody's a pastor, born and raised in a church. It's still quite funny how when I came to church on the North Coast, I experienced something I never experienced before. Being raised in the church. And what a lot of people don't know is they didn't know. I mean, church on the North Coast is big. Like, you can't get around it. It's a big church with a lot of people. And I came in. Somebody can easily walk in and walk out without somebody knowing. But what did it for me was, before we got the Valley View location, we used to rent out a ballroom over at the Embassy Suites in Beechwood. And I would just come, and, like, I knew a couple people, and I would help them set up and tear down when I felt like it. And but what I got a chance to see was, when church was over, and church isn't a performance, but when the leadership was in front of people and everybody got to see them and they're preaching the word of God and they're showing all this love, after all the people left, behind closed doors, the leadership was the very same way. And I was like, oh. Because the church I grew up in, the people that were around me wouldn't always be the same as they were in the public. So that really did it for me. Day one, I came to church on the North Coast. I joined. I was like, give me my certificate and all that good stuff. But that's what did it for me. So now I'm in the church. I'm meeting friends and family. And it's like, wait, you're being kind of nice. Don't get too close, because don't know if you're going to stay or not. So I would keep people, you know, where, you know, not too close. But anyway. So we go on this homeless tour, and we're there five days, five different cities in five different states. And we're traveling, and we're going to different churches, sleeping on floors in churches, sleeping in, you know, oh, there's a cheap motel or hotel, let's stay there, this and that. We're feeding the homeless. We're walking miles and ministering to people and dropping off duffel bags of food and so many different things. And when we're done with the homeless tour, ministering to the homeless, I don't know how the information came out.
I didn't even know. Here's the deal. I didn't even know. Listen, Elijah was homeless. I go to him. He's sleeping in his car. Elijah is homeless. I didn't know. I just said, Elijah, I'm going to pay for you to go on this trip. I want you to go on this trip with me to minister to the homeless. I'm asking a homeless guy to go on a homeless tour with me and minister to the homeless.
It was a win-win for me. I was, look, I'm going to have some shelter. I'm going to be able to stretch out somewhere and lay down. Somewhere, somehow, I'm going to get some food. I know y'all not going to be out here in those states not eating. So if y'all eat, I know just by default, I'm going to eat. But that let me know that no matter what I did or did not do, I didn't have to qualify for this love that was dancing around me, for this love that was surrounding me, for this love that came and sought me out. But, I mean, evidence proves that I didn't have to earn it, that it was there and it was going to find me regardless of how far I ran or how much I fought. And at the end of the homeless tour, you know, I was like, well, you know, you're like, well, where are you going? I'm like, drop me off anywhere. I just got to get back to the car that I'm sleeping in. And And that was it. He was like, Elijah.
I didn't know.
He's like, hey, you want to come over here? You know, it's not too late or too far? No, it's not too late or too far. I got a mobile home, you know. It'd be anywhere. And it wasn't, excuse me, but it wasn't always, that part wasn't always easy. So there were just like, it was just this dark confusion to where, why am I alone? Like, why is there no one around me to, like, rescue me or take care of me? Like, I'm a teenager. Why am I sleeping in my car? Like, why am I? And then, you know, that car, you know, well, it got taken.
It got repoed.
It got taken.
Taken.
It got repoed. Funny thing was, so, you know, I bounced from couch to couch, and friends would be like, hey, you know, Elijah doesn't, you know.
He lived over at the cookhouse for a little while.
When they found out, they got so upset. Like, how you going to get mad at me? I'm the homeless one. I should be mad at you. And it was like, no. And I was like, look, man, I don't need your help, because that's what was bred inside of me. Like, people don't help people. People don't genuinely love people unless it benefits them. And then I really started to find out who loved me and that there was nothing I could do about it. And like the first person, and Troy saw it, man, and I was not happy. I'm like, you gonna make me accept your love? Like, I don't want your love. And he found out, and they're like, all right, well, I'm out of here. He's like, wait, what did you say? And I think I forget how it got out, but he came over to me and grabbed me, like, no, you got a place to sleep. And I'm like, no. And like, he yanked me back, like, you got a place to sleep. Sure. And I was like, oh. And then some things changed, and you know, and then Josh, you know, we would just hang out. Josh didn't like me at first. Josh cannot stand Elijah. Josh loves him some Elijah now. And I love Josh too. But he was like, look, man, like, and Josh, you gotta know Josh. Like, you just gotta know Josh. Josh gonna love you whether it feels good or whether it hurts. And he'll tell you, like, nah, man, that's stupid. We're not doing that. Like, no, I'm not doing it. And or he's like, look, you're coming to my house, you're gonna have a place to sleep, and you're gonna have something to eat. You can go to the fridge and just help yourself. And I'm like, no, he's like, you're coming. And don't let me, and he's a little bigger than me. So it's probably in my best interest that I go to, you know. And literally, I saw not just relationships, but I saw like pillars of God building a foundation around me, saying, you can leave, but this will always be here. Like, this isn't going anywhere. And no matter what has happened, people have stayed in my life to where I am where I am now. And I got a lot more to say about that, but I'll let you.
So tonight, I wanted you to hear that, because what I think that God is trying to communicate to his bride is that to his children, is that, you know, like Jim said, you can reject my love, but my love will never stop. My love will never stop. Like, I desire your love, but know this, that my love will never stop. And Elijah, as we close, I just want you to just share with the people what happened that made you turn the corner. Like, what was it that made you go, you know what? I'm now able to be the father my children need, basically.
It was a lot. I honestly need you to tell me how much time I have.
You were closing.
Okay. I'm just closing differently. So, what happened was actually in the spirit. It wasn't something that I had to find. It wasn't something that, you know, that I had to seek out or pray for. It's like, whether you believe fire is hot or not, doesn't matter. Fire is hot. If you don't believe it's hot with all your heart, you can still touch it and it's still going to be hot. It will burn you. If you don't believe me, go home and turn your stove on and try it. Turn your stove on, go home and try it. And what happened was literally something inside of me was watered and I didn't even know it. The word of God says that, you know, I've written my law upon your heart, and I never knew that because it was covered up and just trashed over with so much dirt and debris. And I didn't know it, but people would come in my life and just brush a little bit of that off, clean a little spot up, water, and then the next person would come in. And what happened is something began to grow inside of me, and I knew that there was more. I really can't explain that part. As much as I want to, it literally happened on its own. And to where you hear people say, God found me, he literally found me where I was. And no matter what I did, as much as of an orphan that I thought I was and that I felt I was, I wasn't an orphan. I was just lost. And I didn't know. The APB was sent out for me, and I didn't even know it. And he found me. And to where I am today, I want to speak to you specifically and talk to you specifically tonight, not long, not a little bit, is that without a shadow of a doubt, you are going to know who God is. Without the shadow of a doubt, whether you want to or not, you're going to know that you have a father. The last thing he is going to allow to happen is for you to be on this earth inside of the kingdom and the world that he created and feel like you're alone. As much he will permit certain things simply so you can know his power. I'm not going to sit here and, oh, you locked yourself out your house. Your neighbor has a key. He'll let you in. No, God's not that. No, you're going to know not only that I'm your God. You're going to know that I'm your God. Your Jehovah Jireh. I'm your provider. You're going to know that. You're going to know without a shadow of a doubt, God. I'm the God that I'm going to show you how much power I have. And I'm going to show you how deep my love actually flows. And that's the way it's set up. That's the way it's set up. It is set up for us to not find out, but to know who he is. We're not just going to find out, oh, he's my God. No, without a shadow of a doubt, you're going to be able to step in and step out of any situation and know he's my father. He's my father, and that he specifically created me just so I could experience his love. Just so I could experience it. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to impress him. Hey, do you see how much I'm reading today? No. Do you see how long I pray it today? No. Do you see how much I tithe today? What you don't understand is that you cannot unqualify or unchoose yourself once you've been qualified and chosen. You can't do that. It doesn't work that way. To say that you can get away from his love is calling it shallow. God's love isn't shallow. Your mind cannot fathom. It cannot wrap itself around the depths of his love. That's why it's so confusing. That's why it's so hard to accept sometimes. There's no way he could love me after this. That's how deep it is. You can't even fathom it. You can't live long enough to understand or comprehend it all. You can't travel all the pathways. If you could, he would create new ones on the spot. And what you're doing is, what we're doing is, we're Facebooking and tweeting and Instagramming moments we're supposed to be enjoying. What do you mean? I mean, we're sitting here trying to comprehend his love when we're just supposed to accept it and enjoy it. You're missing out. Wait, how is that? How can that be? You're missing it. Just enjoy it. If you could lose it, you would have lost it by now. I'll speak for myself. I know I'm messed up. For a fact, I know I don't always have the best attitude or the best mindset, or I don't speak the best things. You're missing it, church. We're missing it. It's been given to us and we're supposed to give it freely. Period. So when it happens, when you wake up the next morning, if his word says that new grace and mercy comes up with the sun, who are you to go back to yesterday and grab your faults and your shortcomings? Who are you? You didn't die on a cross. You didn't create something out of nothing. You can't send somebody to heaven and you can't send somebody to hell. You were created to love and to be loved. Stop trying to comprehend it and enjoy it. And every single moment, every time you have the ability to give it away, do it.
Come on, let's stand to our feet tonight, church. That's coming from a homeless son. A homeless son. I've watched him turn the corners in his sonship. And whenever I see that happen in people's lives, you know, there's this scripture comes to my mind and says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk with the Lord. There's such a joy that comes in that when you see people arrive in their sonship. And tonight, if you're not real sure of your sonship, I want to pray for you. Maybe you feel a little insecure in your daughtership or your sonship tonight. It's time that we possess the stuff of our Father. You know, the earth demands it. The earth is starving for it. The world is groaning and waiting for the manifestations of the sons and the daughters of God. The earth is reeling. The political world, the nations of the earth are in an uproar because we are behaving as orphans. So tonight, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask you a question. If you've been behaving like an orphan, right there where you stand, I just want you to surrender that spirit. Just let it go. Let that go tonight and embrace all that your Father has for you. Come on, if you knew that your dad had something you needed tonight, so whatever you have need of, I just want you to embrace that which Christ has paid for you. There's an heir. You are now an heir to the throne. So everything he has belongs to you. What is it that you need inside tonight? Come on, what is it tonight that you have need of from your Father? And I just go get it. I just go get it. I release tonight healing. I release tonight the mind of a conqueror. I declare over every one of us that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That all things are possible to the world through us because we are his heirs. That we walk with such boldness and authority that disease is no match for the inheritance we possess. All we possess. You are in possession of an inheritance tonight because you are a son and a daughter. Come on, say it to yourself tonight. I'm a son. I'm a daughter. I'm a son. Now I leave this place with all the confidence in my Father. I leave this place with my spirit being full of sonship and revival. I possess the spirit of revival wherever I go. earmarked by joy and confidence and faith, unfailing faith. We bless you tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you for our sonship. We thank you, Lord, that we're no longer orphans. And now we covenant with you tonight, God, that we will leave this place and we will go and remind the world that they don't have to be an orphan any longer. We'll remind the world that there is a love that exists that is more powerful than the spirit of an orphan. That it will swallow up that spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to receive the offering on the way out tonight. We didn't do it the front half. So as you go out tonight, we pray that you would give to the ministry. The ushers will be at the door. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. The altars are open if you'd like to come and worship for a while. God bless you.